weeks ago now.
We have in attendance Mayor Purcell, Alderman Funkhauser, Alderman Transier, Alderman
Milchewski.
I can never pronounce
it. Milchewski.
Milchewski.
Yeah. Milchewski.
I have Alderman Frieders. We have Lisa Pickering. And we have Chief Jensen. And we have your chairman, Terulis. Minutes for correction, July 3rd, 2019. Any comments? Corrections?
All good.
Everybody approve?
Mm-hmm.
Approve. PS 2019-25, monthly crime report review. Leave this one to the chief.
All right. You guys had, I believe they sent out the 181-page document that shows all the crime stuff on there. At least that's what I was looking through. So just to highlight a few things, and I'm really going to kind of go back to May. Some of the stuff since we've started in the last couple of weeks, if there's anything big, I send out stuff to you guys in email.
And excuse me, but
sure.
It's your first meeting.
True. But I did look at the 181 pages.
I know.
I'm just, well, you know.
It's momentous. It's your first meeting. It's your public safety meeting.
So let's go. Whoa.
We're off by 100. I've only got
81 pages.
I just pulled up a document, 181.
Which document?
What kind of filler did you get?
Oh, okay, yeah, we didn't get that.
We didn't get those.
Also, a lot of the document for the monthly crime report, the review, is missing information. Like, number one, the patch is gone.
Hold on, I'm going to get there now. Technology may be a little weak suit for me, but... So anyway, as far as crimes go, some of the highlights, animal complaints over the course of May, 21 burglar alarms. We've had 59 burglar alarms. A lot of the stuff is really non-criminal. Some of the criminal stuff that talk about, we have 38 domestic violence calls. That was one of the higher ones. We had 44 property damage accidents from May up until today. Crashes seem to be kind of the thing that's going on in all different parts of town, not just any specific point.
Cell phone distraction.
What's that?
Cell phone distraction.
I think it's a large part of it. You know, the funny part is when you go and you talk about crashes, you know what was going on? Were you on your cell phone? Nobody ever says yes, obviously. So... So attached on the document is a sample monthly report. When I started going through this document here for public safety that talked about the crimes, I wanted to simplify it a little bit, put it in maybe a 5 or 6 page document that really kind of breaks things down. The stuff that, at least in my opinion, I think you guys would be interested in. Some of your part one crimes, your part two crimes, crashes, the things that I think you guys are probably going to get phone calls on, I've included in this monthly report. Here's an extra copy for the receiver. If anybody doesn't have one, I got an extra one. You good? There you go. So if you kind of go through the organizational chart, I just actually finished that today on the second page, and I'll pass that around for everybody as well. The organizational chart is going to go in the document as well. I'm just going to pass that down if we need an extra. If you look at it, it's kind of a non-traditional type where I guess the way I look at it and the way that our command staff looks at it is we report to the public, we answer to the public, therefore the public should be on top. As a command staff, we provide guidance and support to the employees within the organization. We're not the ones first line handling calls. Our patrol people are. Our first line are. So we provide support to them. So it's kind of a non-traditional type thing, but in our opinion, we serve the public, and that's why public needs to be at the top. So that would be a document. It's not 100% yet, but it's pretty close. If you guys have thoughts, suggestions, I'd love to hear it. If you want to write some stuff down, send me an email, call me, whatever you guys are thinking. We'll work from there. But that would go in spot on the second page. And then we talk about some personnel information as far as employees go, overtime hours work, benefit time, I tried to incorporate budgetary items in the monthly report, things that obviously will cost the city money, and then going into the different community policing initiatives that we're going to be doing on a monthly basis, our training, and then going right into crash and crime data. So along with, you know, I think one of the biggest issues we've found, over, at least that I've found over the last couple of weeks, has been that we don't get issues or we don't get calls really on crime. We're getting calls on traffic complaints. So addressing those traffic complaints as they come up, identifying where they are and what kind of resources we're going to be putting to determine whether or not it's really a problem.
You know, are these examples?
These are just examples, yes. So if it's in red, that's just a sample of what could go in there. It's not. I'm still working on how we're going to get some of this data out of the system, because they've never been asked to pull some of this data. So they have to write some queries through the New World system. It can be, they're learning it, so it's going to be new for them. But it's an easy way to provide information to everyone. So, and then we would post this on our, I look to try to post it on our website and obviously send it out to the board on a monthly basis. So I think the first couple months, it may be, I'm going to try to get out as quick as we can, just because we need to get the info, we need to make sure the information's right, and we need to be able to fill it in. So that's all I have for that.
I think it's great. It really really gives you information I find useful and for everybody else, but it's a lot easier to decipher than some of the, you know, raw data that we get, and then we have to try and do our own calculations and everything. So I think this is great.
You guys get enough to read in your packet?
No.
What's the last packet, like 496 pages or something like that? If I can cut some of that down, I'd like to do that. So, but still provide you the necessary information you're looking for. So,
any other comments? PS 2019-26 adjudication reports for July, August.
Those were in your packet as well. Really, no issues from what we're finding.
I didn't see anything that just stuck out to me.
I've gone to my first adjudication, so I'm not even sure what you guys are used to when it comes to that. So.
Apparently it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
That's what we're told last night. The adjudications,
so don't worry about it.
The judges aren't going to enforce the judgments anyways.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Am I wrong? Is that essentially what the summary of the opinion was?
This is basically what we've been getting. So we just see...
That's what I have as well.
Yeah, that's just what we see. Yeah, which is totally, like, that's fine. So at least we see what the offense was and what action was taken.
Sure.
As far as, you know, liable or dismissed.
Yeah, or people who show up or don't show up.
Yeah.
Which you, primarily, you don't get a lot of people to show up.
Yeah.
Just talking to Ray and Bear, who have been attending, you know, if we get five people, that's a lot to a typical adjudication hearing. So...
Other comments?
Nope.
2019-27, CanCom communications update.
So Carrie is on her way, I guess, so she's not here yet. I can cover it, or we can do whatever you guys want to do.
She's walking.
You want to hold off?
I heard the door. I thought, never
mind. If you're up on it, I have no reason
absolutely.
Why you can't.
Absolutely. So, starting out in early 2019 in February, KenCom has been working with the executive board and the finance committee to bring our P5 communications channel up to digital and eventual encryption. So digital is just a different band that's on the radio, specifically like we're analog. I can't talk on a – if I hit an analog radio, I can't talk through a digital frequency. So it's something totally different. And they eventually want to get to encryption, where if we had an emergency call and we went to the encrypted frequency, the scanner land would not be able to see – well, I'm sorry, would not be able to hear what is going on in that dispatch or what our response would be. So when you talk about situations like Henry Pratt, Aurora had an encrypted frequency. They're talking about their response over the radio. If you have an offender, suspect, somebody who's committing a crime listening to that, you're giving away your tactical advantage. So that's really the purpose for encryption. So we brought it through the operations board of KenCom. The executive board and finance has talked. We have recently purchased radios to the tune of about $22,888 in this last FY, I think FY19 budget. I think it was FY19. And we bought the radios at that time not knowing that they were wanting to go to digital and encryption. We purchased radios that have that capability, which is great. What we're going to have to do is find a way to fund the P5, the radios. We're going to have to buy what I would call a patch or a license per radio to get us into the digital side of that radio for P5, and secondarily purchase another license for the encryption side of that. What those prices are, I don't know yet. In talking with all the agency and the operations board and the executive board, everybody is pushing to get this done, and the reason they're pushing because if we have the digital frequency and county doesn't, as an example, they cannot communicate with us going to a critical call. So it's extremely important that all the agencies that participate in KenCom do this same. We're all going to need to do it. So Kerry is working on getting pricing countywide. I know obviously she works for Yorkville and Oswego, but because we can have savings in the number of licenses that we're looking to purchase, we've incorporated, or she's incorporated, Kendall County. And Kerry, if I'm speaking out of turn, you've got to tell me.
That's right.
We've incorporated Kendall County, Plano, Montgomery, obviously Yorkville and Oswego into the mix to see if we can get better pricing for this. I guess the number that was thrown out originally, and don't hold me to this number, was roughly about $450 per license. You're going to need two licenses per radio. So it's going to be pretty expensive to do. So in working with the chief of Oswego, the sheriff of Kendall County, and talking with the Montgomery chief and Plano chief, we're looking to roll this in over a 3-year period of time. So we would want to purchase the license for the digital portion of this during FY21. FY22, purchase the license for the encryption, and then FY23, purchase the licenses for the mobiles in the squad cars. The reason we're waiting to do the squad cars, because when we're outside of the car, we're only in the car going to the call. That's that would be the last thing I would need to do. And worst case scenario, I can talk on the radio on my portable in a squad going to that call if I need to have that capability. So, Carrie, did I leave anything else out?
I apologize for being late. Chicago traffic. No, you did perfectly fine. We are looking to, I don't know if you touched on this, so I do apologize. We are looking to roll this out, the bid out, to the end of this month. And then we will bring it back into approval for you guys in November. So we are ideally getting this rolled out. By having the amount of radios for the bulk purchase, it will reduce the cost for everyone. And part of the contract will hold the pricing for 3 years. So if we were to add on additional officers, additional staff, and so forth, the cost of the radios that they will provide us quote for at this time, they will hold it for 3 years down the road. So if we have to buy more radios down the road within the 3 years, it'll still be the same price.
So quick observation, we just bought radios in Public Works, right?
Yes.
But we got like, what, 9? Is it 16 of them?
16.
Okay. These radios that we're talking about buying with everyone, we just spent 20-some last year to buy police radios. We have to upgrade them to meet the needs of all of, or to match what every other community is going to be having.
We have to license.
Well, licensing was one thing, but they're talking about having, like, they're capable of being digital encrypted, but they won't be the same exact as everyone else.
No.
So, that correct?
We're doing the exact same radio.
Okay, so we already own the same exact radio.
We do. Yes. Oswego and Yorkville have the same radio, and the specs will be for all the other agencies have agreed that they do like that radio.
Okay.
So we're going to stick with that radio.
So our radios are fine.
Okay.
We need to license them. Others need to acquire.
So everybody else has to buy the whole thing and the license. We just have to buy the license.
Yes.
Oswego purchased the radios, the same thing. They're going to have to buy licenses just like Yorkville. So, okay.
So is there buying power and...
Yes.
So there's two things. There's the all of the radios that everybody else didn't buy. Then there's more licenses that include Yorkville and Oswego. All right, I'm just, because I remember last year the public works thing being, what, 5 months that we had to make that decision, then went back, and then we finally did it.
Yeah.
So I'm just, if we're, what I'm worried about is that this is the same reason why every time we're talking about buying a new police car, I'm like, okay, what new technology is coming out? You know, the car is like 30, and the freaking guts are like 30. It's like, well, if we're going to buy a new something, I want to make sure that's not going to be outdated in 5 months. This, it's like freaking getting a car wash. It's going to rain. So we bought radios. Now everybody wants new radios. So that's
so
why I think as long as
to,
we're cool.
To your point, Joel, what we I wasn't here when the radios were purchased. However, we had several conversations with Bear and Ray from my hat at Oswego.
Okay.
When we purchased it, we made sure that those radios were digital and encryption capable.
Okay.
When Yorkville purchased theirs, they reached out knowing that Oswego had just purchased radios. They did the same thing.
Okay.
So
I actually negotiated the price with Oswego's vendor to get a lower price than what the original... Exactly. Yes.
And the reason they were working at it is Pentime has been on this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Going before even the Henry Pratt issue. So, you know, P7 and 5 have both been eye for this for a long time.
Yeah, just in like their meeting, like the meeting agendas that they were sending around. I've seen the topic before, but I had assumed that there was like a, you know, we have the technology group that we're a part of for, what's that? Something.
Interdef.
Yeah. Well, no, on the IT end.
Oh, the consortium.
Yeah. So we're on a consortium for that. I had always assumed that there was one for public safety kind of regionally, but I just know that Yorkville has the same luck that Frieder's family does. It. The second you buy something, it's outdated. And that's what I've always been like. So as long as these aren't going to be outdated, I'm totally cool with that. I'm just
so they've been talking about this P5, P7 at the executive board level for KenCom for almost a year.
Yeah.
Thank you to Mayor Purcell, because he just got me on the Finance Committee. They added a position on there so I can at least... That's where money is decided,
mm-hmm.
right? And I want to have a say-so because it affects the city that we all live in. So we now sit on that, and we're able to hopefully have a little bit more insight with some
there
of
those. There was a caveat to getting him on that board.
Uh-oh.
He had to stay on the Personnel Committee as well. Did they not inform you of that?
No.
I supported that recommendation. How many licenses will we need?
Right now we purchased, I believe, 33 radios?
That's correct.
I think it was 33.
Two licenses for each?
So we're...
A grand a piece, and roughly.
Different.
A little less. So yeah. 30 grand. Why don't you look at KenCom's fund balances, since you're on the Finance Committee? They're hefty. Maybe they could subsidize us. You know, if you get enough of the votes on there, there's enough votes if you talk to all the other users. I know there might be one or two people who won't be happy about it, well, one in particular, but that person doesn't employ any of the people out in the field.
Right.
And maybe you could look at their fund balances and see if you could get it subsidized. That might be a few phone calls you need to make, but I'm sure I'll get a phone call on that, but whatever. What you said to them, what to do.
I will look into that.
Maybe
absolutely.
Maybe I have your fund balances.
They
very
do.
Happy.
I know they just purchased some computers and some stuff like that, but
don't
yes,
let,
you're right.
Don't let him kid you. You want to see the report I got it right here. It's they're probably pushing a year fund balance, be my guess.
Really?
6-8. At least 6-8 months, yeah, at least. Yeah. And they've got multiple funds. They've got their general fund, they've got their capital equipment funds.
It's healthy, but there are obligations.
I've heard that for 15 years.
What if the tower goes down?
Yeah, that's right, insurance.
I will look into that, and I will let you know.
You might need to call some of your friends.
I can definitely do that. That's not a problem. all I got.
None? Okay. She has 2019-28, fleet status and options.
So the fleet status, there's I printed up a couple copies, and I know it's printed up kind of small. I tried to do larger. If you have it on the computer, you got it there. Pass that over. And this is more just for discussion. There's, you know, I'm not asking for any action to take on. I just wanted to update you guys on the fleet status. The handout that's attached is the fleet and equipment schedule for our vehicles. We added a couple columns, and we broke things down in a few different ways. So following at the top, or I should say line three, but vehicle year, squad number, make, model, assigned to, those are all pretty common. When you look at the year obtained and the useful life column is really kind of the important column. It breaks down the vehicles. You know, if you have a patrol, a first-line vehicle that is driven every single day, we look at the useful life of that vehicle anywhere between 3 and 5 years. If we purchase the vehicle new, 3 to 5 years is what you will get from that vehicle. And then through an investigations or an administrative-type vehicle, we figure 7 to 10 year use out of those vehicles. So that's the useful life column. And then the vehicle score as of August of 2019. There is a form that we go through on each vehicle that we rate the vehicles. We look at how many miles are on the vehicle, how old the vehicle is, what kind of maintenance record we've had on the vehicle, and we score each of the vehicles. And the scoring is set at the bottom right-hand corner, vehicle scoring. Talks about four different conditions and where the points are 0 through 18 all the way up through 28-plus points, whether or not they're in excellent shape, good shape, or a requested replacement. So the highlighted orange section, let me back up just a little bit. The last two columns up at the top, idle time and hours and mileage on the engine, those are things, because these vehicles are idling so much, it's putting added wear and tear on the engine. And so they provide a way to figure out what the actual life is on the vehicle. You take your idle hours times 33 plus your current mileage, and that's going to give you what your mileage, actual mileage on the engine is. In Chevys, I can't get idle time. So that's part of the reason it's NA'd through there. So if you look at the orange, those are the vehicles. Our fleet is currently, we're assigned 23 vehicles. We only have 21 in use. Two of them, we're going to be talking about it later, that are going to be up for destruction. So we really have 21 vehicles in our fleet. Last night, you guys authorized the purchase of one. So that will bring us up to 22 vehicles in our fleet. Thank you very much for doing that, by the way. That was very much appreciated. And so I guess more just giving you guys the update on the fleet itself and where we're at with vehicles and when some of the replacements, you know, you could expect. I'm going to let Carrie talk more about an idea that her and I had in reference to a lease program. So I'm going to turn it over to Carrie.
Before that, questions or comments?
Absolutely.
I noticed there's a couple columns that have information that's not available on here.
Correct.
And those are some of the newer vehicles. I would think that those...
Which columns are you talking about, Chris?
We're talking about new vehicle cost and equipment cost per vehicle.
Okay, so vehicle cost, new vehicle cost in there. I just put NA on the old, what it would in there. Like a current vehicle that I'm not looking to replace, I put NA in there. I could take that price of that vehicle and add anywhere between 2 and 3% each year. So if we wanted to put in there and figure out what the cost of that vehicle would be on a replacement, let's just say 5 years from now, I'd just do the compounded part in there.
And then does this information, will this get transferred over into Rob's vehicle replacement chart for the entire city?
So I've sent this to Rob, and he sent me another document that he has that I haven't seen it. Well, I've seen it
every
now.
Vehicle in the city.
So every vehicle in the city and how that's laid out. So we will work together to make sure that obviously our information is put together. I know the document that he sent me yesterday talks specifically about replacement in 7 years for certain types of vehicle. And
it's good to see it here at the department level, but it's definitely good to see it big picture budget-wise overall. So
when we met with John and Bart and Aaron on the budget talks already this year, this was handed out and talked about and just more for discussion purposes and where we're looking to go in the future with vehicles.
So as for future of vehicles, something that Chief and I have discussed was the possibility of a leasing program. So on a side note, I've been doing a lot of research on best practices in fleet. And the latest and greatest best practice is leasing your patrol fleet. And looking at it, it is very successful because they are used 24/7 in some cases in ours. Not so much, but they are nonstop when they are in service. We would have a turnover every 3 years, and then we have a locked amount that we pay, and then the locked amount for, was it 15 vehicles, I think is what we talked about? It would be, the amount would be just a little over what we would pay for one vehicle. So I don't have exact numbers because I have not sat down with them to get the exact, and they have not reviewed our vehicles, but it is something to look at instead of buying one vehicle at a time and then having older vehicles and cycling through to be able to have something that's a little bit more reliable, considering we have two vehicles that are inoperable right now as part of our fleet, that this would just keep something ongoing. We wouldn't have the high maintenance costs, and ultimately it would lower the cost over time if we have a newer fleet and if we do the fleet through it. We're looking at Enterprise. But there are other options out there that we can look at as well.
So the option or the idea of doing that was more just to provide the board options. Is it realistic for us to do? Is it something we could do? It's just to give you options and the most information we can give you. There's different ways of doing it. You can do your entire fleet, meaning administrative, investigative, patrol. You can just do administrative. You can and detective, or you could just do patrol. So there's a lot of different ways of setting things up. And again, it's not saying this is the way we need to go. It's information that we wanted to bring forward. And I'm seeing a couple looks. So I think I got some questions here.
We talked about talking about this 4 years ago when we were like, all right, we need. There was one point where we had 5 vehicles in 1 year.
Uh-huh. Chris, you're still smiling. So this had to have evolved.
And basically the conversation said we haven't found an outlet that would allow the leasing, because the comment about like the freighter's luck, I'll buy a phone, next thing I know it's obsolete. That's the issue with, because we're talking about increasing the capability of the radio and the in-car computer and the docking station. And when they pull in, does it have the signal? Is it strong enough to be able to port all of the data over? So they're not taking those freaking computers out of the back and shoving them in.
Correct.
And the conversation with Chief Hart was, he goes, it's coming. It's not there yet. And that makes me really happy. Because if we can budget for starting with patrol cars, at least a portion of the patrol cars, and then moving that into all the detectives' cars, and then kind of, I think it would make more sense to leave admin, since that's, there's going to be one or two seizures every decade, right? I mean, you could make an admin car.
No, seizures are very, very limited now with the court system. And
but with the cars that we own now, some of those could be downgraded or whatever. No, that's really
so exciting. here's the one of the things that Carrie and I also spoke about when it comes to what you're saying, Joel, is some of the vehicles we currently have in the fleet, you have other vehicles in the city that other departments could use with these vehicles that the city owns.
Yeah.
So it's if you kind of look at it from the broad side of things, if building and zoning needed a vehicle, we have that vehicle.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's a thought, it's an idea, but it's information.
What's the upfront cost? You have to replace all the vehicles at once?
I'm sorry?
You have to replace all the vehicles at once that you want to be part of the program?
You can gradually move into it, but if we were to do it, I would think if we did it all at once, it probably would be easier because then they would take our fleet and sell it on our behalf.
So you get credit for the vehicle. So if we bought it, let's just say today, all the equipment comes in the cars as well.
Oh, it does?
Yes. So you
say 65 grand, so let's take one car. You spend 65 grand in a new car, right? Well, how does it work under this program? You spend 65 grand.
And you get 15 cars. Not using exact numbers, but, and then you would pay that 65 grand every year over the next 3 years, and then it could be ongoing if you decide to continue.
So you're not paying for all the cars up front?
No. It's like leasing at the dealership.
And then we own them, which means...
What's the catch?
The catch is you pay more than you would if you were just paying for it.
Correct.
But
there's administrative.
But the beauty of that is, and this is one of the reasons why, if we could do this with plows, oh my God, I want to drink right now. That's incredible. If you could do this with every car that belongs to the city, you would have top-of-the-line service agreements, top-of-the-line equipment, and we wouldn't have to keep chasing our tail when it comes to technology fitting in the vehicles themselves, because every time that there's a new update to the computer programs, it involves a physical manipulation inside the vehicle, which normally means the cars are getting more slender as the computer is getting bigger. We don't have to fight that fight anymore because it's just...
So we just spent $65,000 on a vehicle.
Uh-huh.
You're telling me for $65,000 we had all vehicles brand new?
I don't have that exact number.
Okay.
But
we own
them. Correct.
Which is awesome.
So there's a couple cities that are going through, and Carrie and I know Carrie's looking at some research on it. Geneva is one of the cities that is looking to do this, where they're taking their fleet. And I read somewhere, and I got to figure out where, but Public Works fleet was part of that. I'm just not sure where, what city
so
that was.
We don't own them.
No.
So in 5 years, when every Tom, Dick, and Harry police force is on this, and they were like, oh my God, we got too many cars, our supplies flooded, and they quit the program, what do we do now? Are we going to go buy all new vehicles?
We can buy those vehicles.
You can buy the vehicles he's been leasing. But usually,
we got to buy 15 all at once, potentially.
Yeah, maybe. But they're already depreciated. You know their maintenance records. You know they're reliable. Not that you would bond out, but you'd probably get a pretty decent financing rate on them if you needed to. But
and
so
you don't have to buy them all. You can send 10 of them back to the leasing agent and say, well, okay, well, let's totally start replacing
these. But we keep
on
having these same problems where, like, just like taking the plows is like an overall discussion point. Every time that we're talking about buying a plow, we know we need three. Because
right.
We drive those things into the ground. But if we had maintenance contracts to make sure that they are in as decent a shape when they leave here as when they come in, it, you know, we're not going to have kids spilling, you know, grape juice in the back, but you're going to be plowing salt, I mean, and throwing salt. That's going to degrade the vehicle. Right now we're using street signs in the back of one of those plows to make sure that it holds enough salt so that it doesn't just fall through the bed of the truck. If that wasn't an issue in the future, yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more for that administrative cost, but you always have the brand new technology. It's always going to work, and it will be reliable. Last year with snow, and I'm going to keep falling back on snow because it was annoying, all the big boys were out. They were using pickups to push most of the snow last year because all three out of the six big dudes couldn't do it. One of them couldn't even lift the gate, couldn't throw salt. Those are issues where you can get in a bind and people can actually die. Well, think about your police force. You know, like, we don't have the 7-foot-tall, you know, lieutenant chief anymore, but there were a couple vehicles. If there was an emergency and the only ones that are left in the lot are things that he physically cannot fit inside of, that's an issue. So if we're going to be standardizing on, you know, it's the Ford SUV, whatever it is, and we have a fleet that is routinely replaced the best technology for our officers, it's going to be a clean lease. It's going to be a new vehicle when we get it. We can basically set our standards and invest in the officers, not keep throwing cash into the gas tank every time that we have to use one of these, you know, 2006 Impala. Like, that's, we should be better than that. Especially with our size, we're not talking about 500 vehicles. We're talking about 16, 20.
23 is our fleet, 21 right now, so I'd say 21. Well, 22, because we just bought one.
For the entire fleet.
Yeah. Correct.
The patrol is only about 13.
Yeah.
So when are we going to have more information on this? When will I have more information?
A couple weeks.
Okay.
I'm going to turn that over to Carrie.
It depends. I do need to research to see how many other agencies are out there that can provide this. Right now, Enterprise is the only one that I can find that is specific to what municipalities are looking for. On top of the technology and everything, Enterprise can work with our current vendors. So we currently have a contract for our electronics within the vehicle, who currently does our light bars, who we purchase from. They can work with our vendors. So if it's a case that we happen to use someone locally, they will work with them to be able to provide that. So that is another thing that we won't be cutting off ties with what we currently are working with. it's something that we can expand on as well.
The only thing that's concerning is we need to make sure our video cameras and our cars, because that's digital patroller. We need to make sure that those are systems that can work, because I don't want to get rid of all those. I mean, we just that's one thing.
No, there's a lot to look at, but it's intriguing, definitely.
Yes. And it could also save us money in our vehicle maintenance fund. As of right now, you have a new fleet. Your maintenance costs that you're going to have that we're currently budgeting in the budget.
Jim, would these be gas or propane?
I'm just kidding. Not going propane.
Just kidding.
That was a long couple months.
Silence. PS 2019-29, surplus request for a disposal of two police vehicles.
So, as Chief just explained, we have two vehicles that are no longer in operable condition. We have a 2006 Chevy Impala with over 100,000 miles. We have a 2011 Ford Crown Victoria that has over 130,000 miles. Both of these are, they have significant mechanical issues, extensive rust. However, the interior is still fair because, I mean, it's patrol. So the interior is still in good condition. It's just maintenance and the exterior of it that needs a little bit of attention. Both of these did rate above 28 points or higher on the replacement evaluation form, which is attached to the memo. And we're asking to request approval for disposal, recommend it to the council, as well as release an invitation to bid to sell both of these vehicles individually. So I have attached the bid example, and it will be released at the same time, but it has two different bid documents, so they can either bid on both vehicles or one or the other.
Which items are they, and what, M number?
It's
M2?
2 and 7.
And M7.
It's nice to have this little chart.
Yeah, it is. So with that being said, if you guys recommend it going to council to push that through, that would be great.
Agreement, go to city council?
Yes, sir.
PS 2019-30, surplus request for disposal of police equipment.
So this one has been ongoing for quite a few months, and in the spring, I had sat down with Chief Hart and Bear to discuss current storage for the police department. And at that time, we had discussed shipping containers, which we were able to purchase two of them that are located on the South Water Tower property. With that being said, we were able to cancel our contract with the local storage unit and move any of the existing equipment that is salvageable or usable to the shipping container. The other shipping container will be used by Public Works for the event supplies and Parks and Rec and so forth, items that are stored in the water towers themselves that need to be removed. With that, cleaning out the storage unit and the sally port here on location, we have found a lot of surplus equipment that is no longer needed, outdated, old, and are recommending to dispose of them. I will look at possibly selling them, either through online or through a bid. We don't quite know value of them yet, as I have not visually seen them to see if they're worth doing a bid. However, I definitely will try online surplus outlet, if not a donation to a local agency and so forth.
If you want to see the equipment, it's on the third car garage over here, and it covers up the whole car.
Why don't you use a dumpster and get rid of it? Be cheaper in time.
You don't think there's going to be an active market for a radar detector from the early 80s?
Might be an eBay, but it'll be a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it saves a lot of time.
dumpster for
I like to buy the police mountain bikes.
Yeah, I'm kind of eyeing that too.
They come with bells.
They
come with bells. I remember watching Garrett ride a bike a couple of years ago, and there wasn't like a station issued ring ring, and I was a little offended.
Jim and I are going to start riding bikes. Me and people are riding.
There you go.
I have a bike. I'm going to ride my own.
Scott's bikes don't need the bikes. I'm sure there's probably some type of group that would give the bikes to the kids.
They haven't been around in a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
They need some more repairs.
Crosswalk signs with River Base.
So none of our guys do bike control anymore? I remember
you got to have, you know, the bikes. If you go and purchase a bike, like a police bike, it's roughly $1,200 to $1,500 to do that. Yeah. And then you got to go through the training, and then somebody inevitably falls off and
hurts himself.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to put it in the
car. All in favor?
Sounds good.
City Council?
Aye.
Yes, 2019-31, meeting scheduled for 2020.
I guess.
Thursdays.
Sure.
Every 2 months, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did we say they're Thursdays? We said Thursdays.
Everybody good?
Sure.
All right. PS 2019-32, Liquor Code Amendments. Bring your own BYO.
Okay, we have actually 20 weeks from Party is Here, if anyone has any questions during this discussion for what they would like to do. So the request came from their business, which is opening. They would like to have private events for members of their, like, is it a flight club?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
To bring in kind of like rare beers and things to share. So we've created this BYO, which would allow them to do this. These events would not be open to the general public. They'll be in an area of the business that's just kind of set off. And then they're limited to no more than one per month. So it's an additional permit that would be issued just with a nominal fee of $50 a year to allow them to do this. I'm not sure, does anyone have any questions?
Well, I kind of was wondering why we wouldn't do a special use with this. Why do we have to add to our ordinance? I mean, don't we have a special use?
Well, because the initial proposal at the September 5th public safety meeting, which was canceled, was just going to be in two parts. One, to have a BYO if there are any businesses in the future that would come in and only want that and not be actually selling the liquor themselves. And then we were also proposing to allow it for anyone with a Class A, which is bar and grill or restaurant, if they chose. That would be up to the individual business if they wanted to offer it and under the conditions they would want to offer it. The feedback that staff received was all negative for that. The other businesses in town indicated they would prefer the city to not have an ordinance on the books for that. So now it's been amended to accommodate the request from Flight. And with it being the separate permit, none of the other businesses can just say to their customers when they don't want to offer it, we don't have the license to allow that.
But what I'm saying is, why do we have to do it as a license? Why can't we keep the things that the way it is? And they're going to have a liquor license anyhow, correct? But when they have these events, it would fall under a special use.
Well, can I speak on that real quick?
Yeah.
So in other communities, like there's a shop called Open Bottle, there's one called Iron and Glass, there's one called Beer Cellar, which is my favorite. All of these different areas are basically, and I'm not saying this to be dismissive, but they're like liquor stores, but with a bar, with the intention of being able to go in, talk about the stuff that's on tap, and there's only maybe 6 to 12 taps. It's not like a full like craft beer bar, but there's a lot for retail sale. What this does is it attracts nerds like myself, who I go and I'll spend 45 minutes perusing 6 coolers to spend, you know, $100 on beer. And normally what ends up happening is you develop these relationships with people that are also doing the same thing. It's like going to a record store and picking out a record. So what happens in these types of environments is that everybody there has these things at home called white whales, which are the beers that they've been trying to find for forever. Now, the reason why Flight School exists is because there's a large demand for institutions like this that can bring in beers that are relatively difficult to find in Kendall County, but also the things that are flying off the shelves everywhere else. And instead of driving to Montgomery and supporting a non-family-owned business, this is a family-owned business in town, but we can then share once in a while. Basically, it's called bottle share, where everybody brings a fat daddy. Like for me, I've got 17 set aside in my basement that I won't drink unless I'm going to a bottle share. So at a bottle share, everybody brings a big guy, and the host usually sells, you know, pop because nobody's drinking what they're selling. But we're still kind of paying a membership or a fee to go there. Whether it's a corking fee or whatnot, doesn't really matter. The business that's hosting it is making money because all those people spend money there anyway. The problem comes in is that some of these groups will have bottle shares at their locations, and it's you're walking a line of whether or not it's legal or not. So Tony, being a part of the community, knowing that I'm going to be spending quite a bit of money there, said, yeah, we can do bottle shares. How do we do that? And the question was, how do we do bottle shares? And that turned into a, oh, we'll do a BYOB. That opened up a door which got a little bit more convoluted than we wanted. What Tony wants to do is maybe a monthly bottle share for members of the Flight Club, which would allow us to bring those fat daddies from the basement up to legally drink them on site and share them, but that wouldn't have any impact on any other businesses. So the impetus behind the request was super simple, but confusing for us, because how do you allow people to bring booze they didn't buy there at that specific time onto a property that already sells alcohol? So the simple answer is, we just want to throw a bottle share. And I'm saying we because I'm going to be there. But how do you do it legally so that everybody understands what's going on? So the request was general, but it's for a specific type of event. So the calls that I got about, you know, somebody walking into an SOB with a 30-pack of Red Dog sitting in the back. First of all, wherever you can buy Red Dog, let me know. But second of all, who would walk into a place and say, no, BYOB? That's not, as far as I'm understanding, that's not how people operate. But there was that fear. Well, this calms it. This is just for businesses that want to do a bottle share type of event. So it's almost like making it BYO or BYOB or however you want to put it is a little bit more general than it should be. It's a bottle share addendum. And it's not something that has to be like we can talk about this as much as you want. I love talking about beer. But this is something where it's specific to this type of craft beer bottle share. And he just wants to make sure that he's doing it legally so that nobody
gets it. No, and I get that. And I'm not against that. Yeah. I just don't understand why we have to do an amendment. Like, wouldn't that fall under, in the existing ordinance, a special use for that event?
There's nothing really in the current ordinance that would address this situation.
Okay, so like when
with wrapping it in, none of the other businesses in town want us to wrap it in.
Well, like say like when you have wine Wednesdays or something, is it in the park? They have to get a special use, don't they? Have to, for that?
Yes.
So that's so I guess that's what I'm associating.
It would be more cumbersome for the business and for staff if you were going to do a special event permit. Okay. If they're having 12 events per year, that would require 12 applications to the city, 12 liquor licenses, and then they would have to get a state special event on top of it.
Okay.
It would be very cumbersome.
Okay, that's why I was just wondering why we were doing this.
They still have to get potentially up to 12 licenses. Or not 12 applications. They have to apply for.
This would just be an annual. They would just, it's
so
one.
If they apply for the, they have to have the A1 first.
Yes, which they already
have. About half a dozen users that have an A1. But they could apply for the BYO. Mm-hmm. That would allow them then 12 opportunities throughout the year, one per month.
Correct.
But that's under $50 for the entire year for that.
Correct. So, and with having this license for this, then we know who is legally doing this. If you are just thinking, like, it wouldn't be a big deal for BYO, just, you know, why would we care? Do you want McDonald's customers walking in and being like, hey, we're going to sit down and have a meal. We've got our BYO.
What is the A1 license fee?
Off the top of my head, I think it's $1,750.
Okay. So to allow them is basically a special edition it's only $50 for that. What type of administration do we have to go through for that with the police department and with...
With licensing, it would be wrapped into our normal renewal. So when they send out the renewal for their A1 liquor license, I would include the paperwork for the BYO. So then they would send it in at the same time, and we would process both of their liquor licenses at the same time. Chief could speak on if it will cause any more difficulty.
No. if we're wrapping it into the original one. It's no more work.
And the facility would still be open for people to purchase alcohol in the part that's not been designated for BYOB, so it's not going to affect anyone else's ability to go in and have a beer, right?
Right.
So, like, you'll have, like, two separate rooms. One will be special in that room?
Not two separate rooms, but you could signs that say reserved for bottle share on two tables in the corner, something like that. So the general public couldn't sit down and say, well, you guys want to, you know, I brought my Red Dog or whatever.
Now, is there a notification process? Like, I see he's going to send you an email, hey, I'm doing it on the 17th this month, or is that something that you've discussed, or does that matter?
We have not discussed it, so if the committee would prefer for the business to notify us ahead of time, an email, it wouldn't suffice for my record keeping.
Yeah, just to make it simple.
Yeah, see, you know, what is it, a week notice or two? Some type of a notice in advance.
Sure.
Just so it's on record.
Or if you're doing it on a set day every month, or, you know, like the last Friday of the month or something like that, that we would know. I think that would be good.
Okay.
Cool.
So, I'm just going to make a comment here. It's not directed to you, okay. So we're going to add this, and now we have a license number 58? Are we up to? No. What are we up to now, Lisa? Wait, I sorted these funky.
Are we in
65,
the
I see.
In the 70s, I believe.
Oh, okay.
With including special events.
A lot of signatures.
That's a lot of for our. I'm just making a point. You know what point I'm going on.
I
for our little town, we have a lot of liquor establishments.
Need another pen to sign all of them.
And I'll bring that up in another discussion.
Yes, one of them. The A1, what all does that allow with the A1 in terms of what they can do?
A1 is beer, wine, and liquor on-premise sales, and also it allows package sales to go for off-premise consumption.
Looking at it, a lot of A1s were just restaurants.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But there are, I know it was for liquors or what was in there, but I think somebody like Flight Room is going to have the intent of selling for off-site.
Correct.
So
some of the other businesses that have A1 were the restaurants that wanted to sell the bottles of wine to go. So like Cobblestone, when Cobblestone was open, had an A1, so they could sell wine to go. And I believe the restaurant I'm blanking on and the outlet in Stonefire, mm-hmm. I believe, had an A1, so they can sell bottles of wine to go. I don't know if they do.
I can't keep all the licenses quite straight as to what they're all permitted for, but so to your point, Joel, just
oh, Millhurst now.
Take off, so I have that.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
There's too many of
those.
No, I said that when I was
75 were right next to the liquor providers. Mm-hmm. Hand in hand.
When I was clerking, we kept changing it. I'm like, oh my god, we need to like sit down and do like redo the ordinance and get it cleaned up, and we never have. We just add to it. We just amend it. For 20 years.
Don't you realize when laws are passed, they never come off the books?
Oh, I don't want it to come off the books, but it'd be nice to clean it
off. Yeah.
Lisa knows what I'm talking about.
Consensus here.
Consensus. Yes. Send it up. Let's party.
PS 2019 is 33 staffing update.
So this is again no action to be taken, more just discussion. First, I want to thank you guys for the main goal that you guys had this last year as a board was to get the police department staffing up. That is absolutely huge. I can tell you, I've been here 3-4 weeks now, and the guys and gals that are on there are like, we actually have a shift of 4 people. I haven't had that in a very long time. So it has gone in long ways with the men and women over there. So that, thank you. If one of the things I just try to do for this meeting was, and one of the things that I think is very appropriate to do every single year is a manpower allocation study to determine where your manpower is at, and is the manpower you have doing what it is you needed to do to make sure that the goals of the organization are being achieved and of the city council. So in the pack, it was a kind of a two-page sheet. This is very basic information, again, because haven't been here long. They had to pull some of this data out that they did not know how to get. But it, again, it provides in here some of the, you know, the population and the growth with the incidences and reports. It talks about part one and part two crimes. Our crime rate or our crime index has gone up from 913 to 1104. And that's just based on part one crimes. We had a significant jump, roughly a 24% increase in part one crimes, which are your murder, sex crimes, robbery, agbat, burglaries, thefts. Now, a lot of that is retail theft. So it's not like we're having a lot of murders or sex assaults, but retail theft falls into that statute. So this sheet here is just more informational, talking about the crime that is going on in the town and how we're seeing an increase in that crime. The second part is the staffing plan sheet that was attached there. And I'm sorry I didn't print any extra in here. But it really kind of breaks down where we're at on our squads, you know, day shift and afternoon shifts, with our ultimate goal of getting to four officers plus a sergeant on every single shift. That way we're always staffed with a minimum. If one officer takes off, which is allowed by policy, we always have three officers plus a sergeant, so we have four people on in the community. And so with the swearing in last night of the officer, we have 30 sworn personnel. Hopefully he comes back, completes the academy, the FTO program, we can put him right out. That leaves us to our authorized staff, which is 33. That puts us to 30. Now, we have one position that is we're counting, so that really puts us to 31, even though the individual's not working. But that puts us to 31, and there's two additional hirees that are in the budget this year, our current budget, to hire. I just more wanted to make sure that, you know, you guys, if you had any questions on staffing, if you had any questions of where I'm kind of going and what we're trying to do with this, maybe to put it in your heads that later on I am going to be asking maybe January to come in and hire these two additional personnel. I can try to push it back as far as we can with the academy. They budgeted for those two extra people from November through April in the current budget. If I can push it back a little bit, I can save some money in there because we're not paying salary costs and benefit costs associated with that. But that's kind of my goal of where I want to head to and where I'm looking to go as far as staffing goes. So,
who's planning on retiring in May?
So we have an officer that has approached us and said that she is looking to retire in May. So she's our only female patrol officer. Actually, no, it's one of two. Sarah Gerlach's the other one. So she is looking to go out in May, which means, you know, the sad part is, the hard part is somebody retires, it takes me 1 year to get them up to speed where they're on their own when we go through the process. You know, what I'd love to be able to go to you guys and say, hey, can I hire three instead of two because I don't want to be down one? Well, yeah, I'd love to do that, but I also am realistic with, you know, the financial ramifications of what that brings, and I'm very conscious of that and understanding of what you guys are going to have to, the decision you guys are going to have to make. So there's been a second retirement that the individual has hinted that he may retire. Whether or not he's going to or not, I don't know. I haven't sat down and locked him into that. Technically, I really can't lock him in because he can tell me he's going to retire. I can plan for it, and then he can change his mind and go forward. At the staff level, one of the things I would like to talk about is an incentive for people who give me 6 months' notice, so that way we can plan ahead at least.
Not just one day.
Yeah, you know, your teachers' unions right now, they have to give 4 years' notice, and there's a penalty if they don't give a 4 years' notice. I'm not sure how it's laid out or what that penalty is.
My husband was a pipe fitter. You have to get one, too.
Yeah. So, and when we're talking long-range planning, if we talk a 10-year plan for the city and where the city is going to grow to and where the staff of the police department needs to be, boy, that's planning on our end.
Can you make that request? Is that, like, a violation of the, like, would their union poo-poo it, or what do you think?
I don't know. I'm under the, I guess I kind of look at it this way. I can ask for anything, whether or not they're going to allow me to do it.
That's legitimate to
ask.
That's something, while it's fresh on your mind, write that down and ask that question. Because if that's something you make policy, you can actually plan and scope out what you're going to be spending based on current.
Now, that is not something I've talked with Kathy about to get, you know, the official lawyer approval on. But it's something that we've talked about. We do have negotiations coming up with the union contract. That would be definitely something that I would consider bringing into that. I think it's a benefit for them, and I also think it's a huge benefit for the city, so we can plan. Right. You come to me tomorrow and say you're retiring in 2 weeks. We're behind.
For a year.
For a year.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
We can also just deputize some city staff. My friend Lisa is incredible.
She's a pretty tough girl.
I don't know if I'd pass the psychological.
I wouldn't pass anything psychological.
I'll entertain any questions you have on the staff.
If you can get the lease program to work, we'd be apt to get you up more person so that you would have three.
Well, we've got to balance numbers. Now. We're bringing on six this year. We've got to figure out that pension increase as well. That's going to throw off our super solid numbers we have. We've been funding that thing pretty dang well. Yep. That's going to throw us off a little.
Maybe it's time we start acting like other communities and not fund it for a couple days. And then just
I like the percentage.
Then it just adds more later. The good thing is when you have retirements of the senior people, you're putting in more for those as compared to somebody who's newer.
Well, right.
I know it's a little, but every little bit counts.
But keep in mind, contractually, salaries increase, so even though that person's a...
Correct.
It washes out pretty quickly.
I get it. Any additional business for tonight? I'm sorry it was so long, guys.
No.
Hey, I just had one item. I want to thank the chief for being so damn well prepared tonight.
Yeah.
And to really come in with a lot of information and some stuff that I think in the future as you get it developed is really going to be helpful to us. And I also want to thank you for the emails.
Yes.
Yeah. How was the 8-year-old in the accident yesterday?
Good to have
punctured lung and a pelvis issue, but she is going to be fine.
Okay. Right in front of my subdivision. I got stuck in there for a while.
Mom thought she saw a turn signal. She did.
Non-fatal.
Non-fatal.
Did we get a light there or no?
703, make the turn.